wants to talk about love. Here he wants me to share a little bit about love. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go to some scriptures you've probably never gone to before. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians 13. This is a deep cut. You probably haven't heard this one before. Let's look at verse 4. We're going to start in verse 4 here. I'm going to read some of the word, and then there's some things that I feel like God wants me to expound upon just a little bit. I don't think it's going to take very long. But let's establish a baseline here for what we're talking about when we talk about love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, and I am back to my old habits of reading out of the ERV, the easy-to-read version. So if you don't have the ERV, you should get it. If you don't, you may not need it. I need it. So it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it's not proud. Love is not rude. It's not selfish, and it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs that were done against it. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but it's always happy with the truth. Love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting. It never loses hope, and it never quits. That is true love, by definition. Those are its characteristics. Those are its qualities. That is what true love looks like, feels like, sounds like, acts like, behaves like. That's its motivation. And that forms the baseline of everything that I feel like God was trying to speak to me this week and that I feel like he's wanting to share with us this morning. full disclosure, when God said, I want you to talk about love, my first thought was, are you sure I'm really qualified to do that lately? You know, because different trials, different situations, different frustrations come upon all of us. And there are certain times when I'm sure that all of us feel like, I really know what it means to show love. I got that on lockdown. I am love personified. I feel so good about it. And then there are other weeks where you think, I just don't like anybody. I'm not qualified. Don't talk to me about love. You know, there are some weeks when like, love is all you need is like the your life song. And then there are other weeks where love stinks is your life song, right? And so I was coming out of a fairly grumpy time when God said, I want you to talk about love. And I'm sure he's thinking, but he doesn't tell me, because that'll be fun for me. I want you to talk about it, think about it, study it, and let's see what happens, right? We'll wind you up and let you go. But I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4 again. And one thing that's fun to do is, because God is love, right? God is love. So everything that this description is not just a description. It's too easy for us, I think, to separate love from God and consider love an action, a series of responses, a series of physical things that we do. We take a look at what love looks like, but sometimes we can disassociate it from love being a person, love being being something that's in existence. It's not just a way that we act, right? I think that's more like kindness. You can be kind to people, and that's great, but you can be kind to people without the motivation being love, right? You can not like somebody and not want their betterment, and you can not really care what happens to them and still be kind. And that's nice. It's good. There's nothing really awful about that, but maybe there is something awful. The Lord's speaking to us through technology. I'll cut you off when I've had enough, Darren. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with, I'll just say it that way. There's nothing really terrible about having a wrong heart for a moment and still determining to show kindness. That's a good thing. Right? And that shows a tremendous amount of willpower and judgment on your part. But that's a lower form of expression and a lower form of being than what God has called us to. God has not called us to change our actions. He's called us to be open for him to change our heart and for that to change our motivations. The actions don't change first. You don't fake it till you make it, because you may never make it. You may just make a habit out of faking it and never having to do the hard work of transformation. But God has called us to something different. And so what I want to do, I want to read this, and then I'm going to read it a third time, and then maybe even a fourth time, because that'll be fun. This time we're going to just read the scripture as is. Love is patient. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it's not proud. Love is not rude. It's not selfish, and it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but it's always happy with the truth. Love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting. It never loses hope, and it never quits. And so that we don't forget that this is not just a series of actions, it's a description of what love might look like. Let me just put God in here where love is. We're just going to do a find and replace. Okay? So that we can remind ourselves who our God is. I think we get a misconception of God, especially when we feel like we've fallen sort of out of favor with him, or when we've done something that we know we're not supposed to do, or when we've been sort of absentee, you know, believer for a while, and we're not as close to him as we want to be. We forget sometimes who our God is, but this is who our God is. God is patient and kind. I start to tear up when I put his name in there. God is not jealous. He doesn't brag, and he's not proud. God is not rude, he's not selfish, and he can't be made angry easily. God doesn't remember wrongs done against him. God is never happy when others do wrong, but is always happy with the truth. God, this is so important, God never gives up on people. He never stops trusting. He never loses hope, and he never quits. Turn over to let's turn over to Matthew 22, verses 37. 38, 39, and 40. I'm just going to paraphrase here, but so I guess you don't need to turn there. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. They're asking him, what's the most important of the commandments given to Moses to follow? We just kind of want to trip you up, see if you're going to choose a favorite, and then we can find something to be mad about you for. And Jesus says, what's the best one? What's my favorite out of the top 10 commandments? What's my favorite? Here's what I'm going to say about that. I'm going to say that all of those commandments, and he says not only all of the commandments, he says all of the law and all of the writings of the prophets. That's a lot of writing, y'all. All of the law and then all of the writings that were done about the law. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pages, scholars working and hearing from the Lord and writing down and thinking and meditating on the word itself. And Jesus takes all of that. He says all of the law, all of the commandments Moses was given, and all of the writings that have ever been done about the law come down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor the same as you love yourself. All of the law and the writings of the prophets take their meaning from these two commands. This concept of love, I think, is in the church we get really excited about different pieces of Christian experience, right? We researched, you know, different gifts, or we researched different ministries, different, you know, we can get a little distance even within our own faith from remembering that all of that, all of the things that we get excited about, all of the things that we pursue, all of these like subtopics of our Christian walk are based upon this, these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor the same as you love yourself. Now he says the first one is love God. He said the second one is love your neighbor, but he also mentions equally important as love your God is love your neighbor. And this week I've been thinking back to a Burt Bacharach song. It's been going through my head like crazy. If you know it, sing a little bit of it along with me. What the world needs now.
Come on, everybody.
It's the only thing that does just
Again.
Just for some, but for everyone.
That's good. Y'all are great. And some of you are like, what is a Burt Bacharach? What is that? Is that how we say Jesus is great? No. Burt Bacharach. walk around through South Africa and just shout out Burt Bacharach and see if that means anything. Oh, I want to move over really quick. I do want you to turn here to 1 John 4. There's something. Here we go. 1 John chapter 4. In Matthew, the scripture we were just talking about, Matthew 22, love is so important and so instrumental to God's plans and purposes that Jesus breaks all of the stuff that's confusing down and expresses to the people and still to us that these two things are everything. Love is so important to God's plan and purpose for your life and for the life of everybody that you meet that God made it very, very, very clear, even if you forget everything else, all of the law, all of the writings, all of the prophets, all everything is hinged on this: love God and love people. And Jesus specifically says that one of them is just as important as the other, right? It's great to love God. I mean, that's wonderful. But loving people is equally important in the eyes of the Lord. But it's much harder for us to do, I think. Maybe it's just me. But it's much harder for us to do. Because God is like we see in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 10. God is patient. God is kind. He hopes all things, bears all things, endures all things. People aren't always that way, right? And when somebody is not acting loving towards us, it's very difficult for us to act loving towards them. I started getting a little bit, one of the things that got me into my grumpiness and my funk preceding God saying, talk about love, is that I was on Facebook, right? And that can be a problem right there. But I started getting very disheartened because I started seeing, you know, we get so sidetracked about things that, yes, they're important, but no, they're not important. I was watching thread after thread after thread, and once you get into like a thread and it gets really good and juicy, it's really hard to break out of it. You know, it's like, oh, I wonder what they're going to say. And you see a little da-da-da. You're waiting for the comment to appear and ooh, man, just a voyeur. I'm not like getting into arguments. I'm just watching things burn, you know, which is terrible. I know. But one of the things that I found so disheartening repeatedly for several days in a row was that there were people just getting into like these arguments about politics or about even stupid, you know, fitness isn't stupid, Corey, I know. Getting into stupid, right. But getting into arguments about things that love should cover, like fitness. Like what's the best diet plan? Why do we argue about that? Just eat stuff. If that makes you fat and lazy, then don't eat that stuff. You know, if it makes you better, then eat that stuff. I don't know. Or go talk to Corey. Shameless plug. But I was seeing thread after thread after thread of people who I know to be folks who love God, getting in these, like, digging their heels in the dirt, getting in arguments and calling out people and acting in ways where I think, man, I don't know if that person they're in argument with knows God yet, but they may not get to if this is the example that they have to follow. We live in a very it feels combustible right now in our society, in our world, and in maybe just the age that we live in. It feels tense. It feels like things, little explosions are happening everywhere, you know? Now, if we believe and love and know the God that we serve, then we're not worried. I'm not worried, but I also don't want to exacerbate a problem, right? So we live in this a time where there's a lot of divisiveness and a lot of A lot of things that can cause us to act in ways that God didn't call us to act in. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is going to restore people to one another? You know, what repairs relationships? What builds bridges instead of tearing them down? And it's not policy. It's not politics. And those things are all tools and means to an end. It's not even theology if your theology isn't based on the love of Christ. None of that. None of that. The thing that bypasses all of those and actually gets stuff done is the love of God expressed through people. That's what matters. That's what matters. And that is, I mean, it's our mandate. It's been put upon us not to work hard to try and win. We're not working hard to try and win. Our God has already won. I'm not competing with any other theology, any other faith system, any other Christian church. I'm not competing with any of that. I'm not competing with any political party personally. This is me. I'm not competing with any of that stuff to see if I can force God to win. And if I can force people to believe what I believe so that they'll be, what am I looking for in that? Am I looking for God's approval for them, or am I looking for my approval for them? Right? What Burt Bacharach and Dionne Warwick were singing in the 70s is just so beautiful. What the world needs now is love. Is love. When I was looking on those Facebook feeds, it just seems to be the only thing that there's too little of. There's bunches of opinion. There's bunches of stances. There's bunches of, you know, people digging in their heels and refusing to be wrong. There's bunches of competition. Love doesn't have any part with any of that. Love takes all those things and says, you know what? None of that matters. I'm going to be patient and kind. I'm going to choose to see good in you. I'm going to rejoice when you win. I'm going to rejoice when you're walking in truth. I'm going to rejoice when relationships are restored. I'm going to rejoice when you have a good day, even if I don't agree with you politically. I'm going to rejoice anyway, because that's fun. Even if you're from Oklahoma, I'm going to rejoice. I know it's still too soon. Still too soon. And what I think is, we're going to get into 1 John 4 in just a second. What I found today I find this really just a beautiful thing. And then a few days ago, as I was seeing this in just a new way, Jesus mentions in Matthew 22, love God, love people. He mentions in John 13, 34 through 35, I give you a new commandment, love one another in the same way that I've loved you. And there's two kinds of love going on simultaneously in our lives. There is that love for God, and there's that love for people. And one of them is, if we think of it in terms of like a microphone, right? This microphone here. This microphone is unidirectional. If I talk to it through here, the sound comes in one spot and then it picks something up. If I talk to it here, you can't hear anything. And that's going to sound really weird on the recording. You know?
If I talk to it here, you can't hear anything because it's not picking anything up. It's not reaching out. It's just reaching one direction.
It's not reaching out. It's just reaching one way. Now, this mic over here, is this one on, David? Can we turn that one on? Oh, wait, it's not even in the house, though. Is it? No. That would have been really cool if this had worked the way that I wanted it to. So this mic here is omnidirectional. It doesn't matter where I am in the room. I can be standing over there in that corner, and I can say, hey, and this mic will pick it up. Oh, yeah, these over here. These are great. Here, these drum mics. Yeah.
So, is that one on? Can you hear me? David, can you turn that mic up? Check, 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 check. Yeah, is that one working? Yeah. Anyway, so I can be here and talking, not even facing the mic, and it'll pick things up. Because this one is omnidirectional. This one reaches everywhere. It goes beyond. It's about to feed back. I know that. We can turn it down. But it's
an omnidirectional mic. It doesn't have to be positioned in just one place. And when I was thinking about this scripture, right? I give you a new commandment: love one another in the same way that I have loved you. Let's look at John, 1 John 4. Here we go, verse 7. Dear friends, we should love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has become God's child. And so everyone who loves knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his only son into the world to give us life through him. This is the part that I think is so darn cool and helps me to understand things. True love is God's love for us, not our love for God. True love is God's love for us, not our love for God. And when I read that this week, I read it and, you know, it hits you in a different way. And I thought, what? No, God, I'm pretty sure that my love for you is true love. Don't you think, God? And he said, read it again. I said, oh, true love is God's love for us, not our love for God. He sent his son as the way to take away our sins. So there's two different types of love going on. And my love for God is, I started thinking about it. What are some of the qualities of my love for God, your love for God? It's responsive. It's reactive. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. The love I have for God, I didn't create it. It's a response to the things that he has done for me out of his love. It's a reflection, right? It's a reflection. And God pours his love out to me, and in response, I pour my love out to him. Now, that is unidirectional love, right? I pour it back out to him. It's not the fullness of the love that he poured out to me. It's thankfulness, and it's gratitude, and it's where I wrote some stuff down even. That always helps me. It's responsive. It's gratitude. It's a reflection, and it's necessary, and it's important, and it's good, but it's not the love that saves the world and reaches others, which I think when I say it out loud, it sounds like it might be wrong, but I don't think it's wrong. That love that I have for God is the love that I have for God. Now, he fills me with his love, but the love that he fills me with is not the love that, you know, I can't be an adequate reflection of God's love. The thing about a reflection is it's incomplete. It doesn't show you, like if I'm looking in a mirror, it doesn't show you the back of my head because you can't see it. And if I turn around and I'm showing the back, then I can't see it because my head's facing a different way. A reflection is incomplete. We're holding up, like if I've heard it said before a bunch, like we need to be a reflection of God's love, which is good and it's fine, but it's not complete. God is not, I don't think, looking for us to be, and I'll show you scripture for this in a sec. God's not looking for us to be reflections of his love to the world, because that reflection carries our face, right? God gave me this love and I'm going to shine it out to the world. It's going to look like me. I don't think God wants his love to look like me or to be like me with my limitations and my whatever, my grumpy days and all these kinds of things. A reflection is incomplete. God is not looking for mirrors. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for conduits, right? Because true love is not my love for God that I share with somebody else and it's reflected to them. Look at my love for God, everyone. I want to show you my love for God. Well, that's a reflection of God's love for me, and it's good, but it's incomplete. It's not the fullness of his love, which is what they need, right? This was so much clearer in my head. But when we, and this is what, for so many years now, this is what Pastor has been speaking on, or a semblance of what Pastor has been speaking on about, what is it that we're becoming? What are we becoming? The more we are in his presence, the more we are basking in his love, the more we experience him, the more that we're transformed. And we can allow all these things that are holding us back and keeping us from being a conduit for true love. We can get rid of all the rough edges. We can get rid of all the blockages. We can get rid of all the things that's keeping true love flowing through. It's fine to be a reflection of God's love. That's so much better than not having his love at all. But what God is looking for, I believe, is for us not to be merely reflections showing a facsimile of what God's love looks like. I think he's asking for us to be conduits and vessels so that true love can flow through us and into the world. Omnidirectional, reaching everyone, the fullness of God flowing through his people. Let's see. I told you that I didn't prepare a thing. I did prepare a thing, I'm just not delivering it super well. Thanks. So let's take a look again at 1 John 4. True love is God's love for us, not our love for God. He sent his son as the way to take away our sins. That's how much God loved us, dear friends. So we also must love each other. And so we also must love each other doesn't mean like because of that also it's a good idea for us to love each other. So we also means in that same manner must we also love each other. That's where it, you know, once again is reinforced for me. God's not looking for reflections, mere reflections. He's looking for conduits. In the same way that God poured out his true love by sending his son to cover for us, sending his son to smooth over our rough edges, sending his son to take the fall so that we wouldn't have to, sending his son to bring healing, sending his son to bring restoration to a God who so badly wanted to have relationship with his people restored. In that same way, how can we tell if we're becoming conduits and not mirrors? Because in that same way, we'll be able to see the love of God pouring through us, right? We'll be able to put our own names in 1 Corinthians 13. Darren is patient. Darren is kind. Darren keeps no record of wrong. That's one I got to work on. You know, it's like if you put your name in 1 Corinthians 13, you can kind of make a checklist of the things you probably need to work on. Or don't, because it could be sad. So let's go back really quickly to 1 Corinthians 13. Take a look at verse 8. Coming up after all the description of what love is, love will never end. All those gifts will come to an end, even the gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in different kinds of languages, the gift of knowledge. All of those will end because this knowledge and these prophecies we have are not complete. But when perfection comes, things that are not complete will end. When perfection comes, the things that are not complete will end. Back in 1 John 4:12, it says, if we love each other like God loved us, then God's love has reached its goal and it has been made perfect in us. So what's the goal? What's the end game? What is it that we are to become? We're to become these vessels who love the world. John 3:16. Now I'm doing a greatest hits message today. 1 Corinthians 13, John 3:16. God so loved people that he would send his only son to die so that they would not have to. And when we love other people like that, then we see that God's love has been made perfect in us. As when we grow, when we become, by just continually presenting our hearts, saying, Lord, let there be no wicked way in me. Take all the stuff that's crud and get it out. Clean it out. Because I want to love the way that you love. I don't want the world to have to exist on the love that I can give out of my own self. I want to be a vessel for the love of God so that you can flow through me, because that changes the world. That restores the broken. That heals the wounded. That builds bridges instead of walls. That is what makes a difference, and that is what ushers in the kingdom. That's perfection. When God's love has been expressed through us in the same way that he expressed it to us, then his love will have been made perfect. And when perfection comes, the things that are not complete, they end, right? So I felt like this morning when what I was supposed to share, what I was really supposed to bring this morning was just an encouragement to all of us to return to love, return to that, just that basic, the 101 portion of what this is all built upon. It's very easy for us to get sidetracked and pursue other things, pursue minors instead of a major. What I felt like I was supposed to do today is just to remind us, and Holy Spirit, I hope that you've spoken to people while I've been talking and saying stuff, but I felt like I was supposed to come and remind you today that God is love. And if the world needs to change, and if it needs to see God, then it needs to see love. It can't see argumentation. That can't be how the world changes. And we as believers should know that. The world can't change because we want it to, or because we've got a better argument, or because we've got because of whatever we've got. The world will change because it sees who he is. The world will change because it sees love. And love restores the broken. Love makes all things new. Amen? So, I don't know quite how to close. That's my trademark, I guess, on speaking. But I was thinking one last quick thing. I was thinking this morning, I know probably everybody saw the video, Pastor mentioned it last week, of that young man whose brother was shot, you know, in the courtroom. And man, did anybody else just start crying as you watched that? And I thought to myself as I was, you know, preparing for this, that's what changes the world. That's what changes the world. And yes, that is what brings negativity back, because it stirs things up in people who don't yet know love, right? So you've seen some kickback from that, probably. You've seen people saying maybe negative things about that young man or about the judge or whatever. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is that someone was bold enough to take the stance that I believe Jesus would have taken, and to say, what you've done, think about this, what you've done deserves my judgment by man's law, but I don't live by man's law, so I'm going to go ahead and set you free. I'm going to go ahead and release you from all of the, from having to feel guilt and having to feel condemnation. I'm going to release you from all of that by just saying, I forgive you. And I hope that you find love in God. And can I give you a hug? I mean, how beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? And I, you know, so anyway, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. And how that needs to be our response in all times, in the times that we've planned out, and in the times that just happen to us, that needs to be our response, right? How can I show the love of God? Amen. All right. Well, praise God.